January 17th, 2015, is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show here in Pedro, but not at the Love Grotto with Brother Matt because duty called and he had to bail. But so I'm here in my pad in Pedro, but not man alone. It's a jam Abbott here. I got a bass brother for guest. And welcome him here was Miss John Coltrane doing Leo, something from the Live at Temple University CD that came out last September, one of his last gigs. And he's pounding on his chest while he's singing. And I think somebody told me that was a Buddha thing that he learned. Good weather. Jeff, December, a month and a half ago, you were in SoCal. That's right. You were in the fine city of Venice. And that's when I arranged for you to come on down, yeah, because you said you were going to be spending time down here. So you said the weather was a little calmer here?
It's you know, as we get older, and you get
not older, less young,
you get more aches and pains.
Yeah.
You start running from the rain and the damp cold, and here I am. I'm down south. I'm down south of y'all.
Now, going back, search your head now. Your first music memory.
My first real music memory was my mom playing records on the console, and the first song that I remember is my mom playing Ike and Tina Turner, playing Proud Mary, and my mom was doing the twist, and I was doing the twist with her. I was, like, dancing with her.
Creedence cover.
Yeah, and so when I... And that song still kicks ass.
Especially that version is kind of drama because they take it from
speeds
the real
up. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah.
It's all wild. Oh, man. So how old do you think this was?
Probably 4 or 5.
4 or 5, okay.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to remember anything back then.
Yeah.
And where?
This is Big Sandy, Montana.
Montana.
North Central Montana.
People, Big Sky Country is Montana. It's one of the bigger states. It's in the Northwest. If you get time, check it out. It is
a lot of state.
It's a little hike to get there, but it's worth it. So, and Big Sandy was a little town, right?
Yeah, yeah. 800 people.
800 people.
Yeah. About 20 miles from the Canadian border.
Wow. An Idaho border.
Yeah, I was way east of the Idaho border, so it's like
you're
north central.
To the Dakotas?
Yeah, I'm right in the middle, like central, north
middle.
Central. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
About 300 miles from each border.
Yeah. Yeah, see, 600 miles. It's a big state, people. Okay, and 4 or 5 years old, so this may be early 60s.
Yeah, yeah, this is probably 68, 69, something like
that. Okay, middle 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of Watts.
I'm right there.
Right there. And you're doing the twist. Was it Chubby Checkers?
Chubby Checkers. But
I think a lot of dudes were doing the twist. He just got some credit for that
song. Yeah, no, I think so. I think somebody else wrote the song, and I think he re-recorded it months after the original came out. And
had the right name or the right moves. And he's the one who popularized it, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so... And these are records in the house, and not when you picked. So, what about when you first started? Hey, I like that. When did you start picking music? Can you remember the first record you bought?
I bought a single, and I'm pretty sure it was a Jackson 5 single. It might have been two because at Woolworths you could get two singles for a dollar, and there was a lot of Motown in there.
Yeah.
So I was buying a lot of Jackson 5 and.
Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean,
he's on there.
Yeah, those records.
My first record was a single too.
You could hear the bass.
Mine was
on those records.
I love them. Mine was you couldn't kind of hear the bass. It was American Woman, a Canadian band.
Wow, Guess Who?
Winnipeg guys.
Yeah, and
I'm near where you.
I bought some Guess Who records too because they were those records are on ABC Dunhill, I think.
Okay.
And they were in the cutout.
They were
too.
Very popular. I mean, they had a few years there when they had. Many number ones.
Yeah. Burton Cummings.
Burton Cummings.
Badass.
And every song. Although I think Randy Bachman.
Yeah.
Did the American Woman.
Yeah.
Maybe not the words. I think Burton Cummings. But the thing about Burton Cummings, every tune at the end, he's got to have him scat.
Yeah, yeah.
Every fucking tune. Like that one, for example, is like, don't really want it because I don't really need it.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you, woman. Bye bye. But he's scattered. Like they have that one, don't give me no hand me down.
Right.
Same thing. Scats down the end and no sugar tonight. Maybe that was connected. One of them was, they actually had two singles that were together.
Oh, wow.
Was it New Mother Nature? And No Sugar Tonight, like, that's how packed they were for hits and hooks. They could be in the same tune.
Yeah, they were from Saskatoon, because we played Saskatoon.
Winnipeg's Manitoba.
Right. Because we played Saskatoon a few years ago, and we played a Saskatoon. There's some Guess Who song called Heading Back to Saskatoon, like a super goofy song. Like, really goofy
like
lyrics.
Like Bear Funk.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting closer to my home.
Yeah. But I played the song, like, before we played. I was like, there's a song about Saskatoon, and
Everybody, where's Neil? He's Winnipeg.
Yeah, he was maybe Ontario, and then I think, I don't know if he lived in Winnipeg. I know Randy Bachman's like his guy. Like, he talks.
But I think he moved to Vancouver because somebody knows he's a guitar collector.
Okay.
His fifth White Penguin was finally a real one.
Wow, wow.
He had to buy five of them.
Wow.
But anyway, somebody told me Neil's pop was like the Howard Cosell of hockey.
Right. Yeah.
I hear about these things.
Right.
Anyway, so you get a Jackson 5, you can hear the bass. Yeah. So, okay, bass.
Yeah.
When did you first find out about bass?
I think I started first hearing bass on those Motown records, and then when I became really aware of it, funny enough, was seeing Kiss on TV. I saw Kiss on Don Kirshner's, like, in, before they were big, it was 73 or something, and I remember seeing Gene Simmons do the slide. And you could hear that on the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going like, whoa, what did that sound? Like,
maybe in concert, ABC in concert.
Yeah, or yeah, Kirshner's. Yeah,
Don Kirshner's were actually taped here at the Long Beach Auditorium. It's gone now.
See, that was my, I mean, that was my...
To see music, right? Because
that was it.
Not a lot of gigs in Big Sandy.
Man, Midnight Special and
so
Don Kirshner's.
So coming over the TV. Yeah, I remember this stuff, too. Yeah. In fact, we tape it off the TV.
Wow.
You know, all this buzz.
I used to do that too in American Bandstand. Like, I'd put my tape recorder next to the speaker.
The time with the two fingers?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You hear all this.
I did the same thing.
But at work at late at night, you wouldn't hear the hum because all the machines were gone. That's how, where I got live music.
Yeah.
Especially wild stuff where you didn't know about records.
Yeah.
Sensational Alex Harvey Band.
Right.
I saw it.
Wow.
In concert or something. So Gene Simmons. Yeah, I learned a lot of bass off of him.
Yeah.
We saw him a couple times before they had an album out. Down here, they would open for anybody.
Yeah.
Savoy Brown and
Camel,
Wishbone Ash. You know, I saw him with a five-man James game.
Yeah.
Tommy Bolin.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Joe Walsh had already gone to Eagles. But, yeah, I did. One time I got to tell him about that, too. And he was really humble. He said, no, John Ellis, he's the real bass player.
Right. He, you know what? He doesn't
people get... told me he was all like conceited and shit, but he was really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 20-something years ago.
Yeah.
He's really nice to me.
Yeah.
And I had to acknowledge. You're talking about like shit like at the beginning of the Deuce where he does that gliss.
Yeah.
You can hear that, right?
Yeah. And he's a good bass player. Like, he doesn't really, you know, the people, you know, Kiss, you know, they get put off as kind of a joke band or whatever, but he could play, man. He had real R&B, funky runs, like. I mean, carried a lot of that stuff, you know, like, because the guitars were just, you know, hitting chords.
I remember
and stuff.
One time Paul Stanley played, there was a club here in Long Beach called Bogart's in the Marina Pacific Mall, and Minutemen used to play that shit. And he came there solo.
Wow.
You know, the limo, it's packed, guys with the license plates. He runs up on the stage, you know. And I went, you know, just to see this, you know. Because just earlier he had done at the Shinhart Center what they billed as Rhythm Guitar Clinic. You know, Rhythm Guitar Solo Clinic. I guess there's rhythm. Because he would have little parts where he wasn't playing really a solo, but a little rhythm, a little chord trip.
Yeah.
So maybe he gave a little click on it. Anyway, he comes around the stage, he had like 200 picks in his mouth and he spit them all over the people. They were like, you know, pennies from heaven, like catching the
pennies. That's funny.
I heard he's got this weird condition of born with little ears.
Yeah. I didn't know about that until
I... had a voice that could cut through, man. You know, I just... the Steve Marriott School of...
I think they came out of that school, too, you know.
Yeah.
Faces and Yardbirds.
Blues rocks
and,
from England.
Yeah.
That's kind of boogie.
Yeah.
And, maybe it was natural for them to open up for Savoy Brown.
Right.
Here, let's listen to some music.
Oh,
Kimi wa Hitori Kaeru Bashowa Onai.
Watt for Pedro show with Jeff here. We heard Germs, Manimal, Howie Reeves. He's a bass man, but acoustic.
Cool.
But not stand-up.
Yeah, right.
What do you call these?
I don't know. It's like Jonas Hellberg plays one of those.
Right. Incredible Shreds. Cat.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're more rattle than sound. You don't really get, but they got their own thing, and that's what Howie does. Then the Dicks. I hope you get drafted. I just did a Dick song for a documentary. Yeah, Gary Floyd. I love that cat.
Great singer.
And then Seb and the Rod Dicks and French Cats, or Seb out of Lyon. I think. Yeah, his name comes from the Dicks. Good books, new album. The OCs, Cracking Your Eye. I heard they're back because he broke it up for a little bit.
Wow.
He's a tripper, man. That's a good band. And Dog Barking at the Moon, Brother, Sister, Daughter. That's Mr. Shimmy. Stuff I did in Tokyo maybe 7 years now. And it's just come out, though. Nice. And him directing me with the Neon Go. And finally, Mr. Tom with Alligator Whitefish. Oh, shit, Doug. With Jeff here, he's talking about his early music experience with me. He knew a bass because of Jackson 5, Motown, and Gene Simmons. And I can share that experience with him. That's where I could really hear the bass, too. So what about the instrument? When did you first get the bass in your hand?
I didn't get a bass in my hand until I was 18. I went to college.
So you didn't play in high school?
I didn't play. I was in choir, and I played drums in the junior high band as a freshman. And then I got kind of into skateboarding and sports and other stuff, and I didn't really like the band teacher that much, so that had a lot to do with it. But went to college, and
I got booted.
Yeah.
Mr. Luna at my junior high here.
It's a classic story, like how we all flunked band.
He told me, he said, look, you try hard. But you know what? Why don't you do yourself a favor? Do me a favor. Do us, you know, because of course it's in front of the whole class. Of course, at 14 years old, you got to take this blow.
Yeah.
I crawled out there about one millimeter.
Right.
There's a lot of stories about that, though, huh?
I think it adds to the chip on your shoulder, too. You're like, you try harder.
Oh, pushback. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. So, but I do believe teachers big difference. If you got a cat that's into it. Because I heard, here in L.A., Charles Mingus, Eric Dolphy, high school.
Yeah.
It's where they got their thing. Yeah. So, anyway, not our experience. So, you go to college where?
University of Montana, Missoula. Right,
Missoula.
And my first day in the dorm room, I'm sort of testing things out.
Oh, because you got to move to a new town.
And I put a Black Flag single on my stereo and just didn't play it very loud. And just, you know, my door's open and this guy walks by and he goes, "Oh, Black Flag, I saw them 2 weeks ago at some ballroom in L.A. or whatever." And he just keeps walking. Yeah, and I was just like,
"Fuck, we probably played that gig."
And I'm in Montana.
We did all the Stardust ballroom gigs with Black Flag.
Wow. So it's blown my mind because where I grew up,
you thought it was going to be like nobody's going to like this.
Yeah, there was a couple skaters that I knew that, you know, we all listened to punk rock, but going to college, I was like, man, this is, you know, I got to test the waters here. And the fact that 10 minutes into putting music on, a guy walks by and
put up the flag,
turns out he's from LA.
Right.
So within a week, I end up hanging out with that guy at lunch, and he goes, "What are you doing this afternoon?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to go skate the banks. There's some brick banks on the university." And he goes, "Oh, I'll go grab my board." So we went over there, skated, and he goes, "We need to get a band together." And I was like, "God, I don't really play. I played piano growing up, but I don't really..."
Oh, so you did know some music.
Yeah, I took piano lessons for 7 years, so that helped me out
later
on. Was
this in school or at home?
No, it was just at home. My mom played piano, so...
Oh. Because D. Boone, you know, his mom played guitar, that's why he played guitar.
Wow.
So the same thing your mom wanted you to play. So 7 years. So you did left hand. You learned some bass on the left hand.
A little bit.
So he says, "Let's get a band."
He says, "Let's get a band."
Who is this cat?
This guy's John Donahue. He grew up in West Covina.
Wow, Inland Empire.
Still lives up in Pasadena.
Foothill.
And I said, "You know, I bought a guitar in junior high that I have an SG copy. you know, back at home, I said, at Thanksgiving, I'll bring the guitar. And he goes, I have a bass. I'll bring my bass from home. So we get together, and he can play. He can play both instruments. You know, he knows bar chords and stuff. And I said, man, you should let me play the bass. You should play guitar. And so we start playing, and within...
Would you give him the guitar?
Yeah. Well, it was a good deal, because check this out. He gave me, like, a 76 P bass.
Whoa!
That I ended up using for years.
And you gave him a copy.
And I gave him a SG copy. But, so we, every...
76, that's big logo. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a great bass. But we, pretty much every day we get together and we play longer records.
Because no drummer.
Yeah. And about a month after we learned like Homicide by 999, yeah, and we learned Jealous Again by the Black Flag, and we learned like a couple Ramones tunes, and about a month later there was a new wave band playing town called Who Killed Society, and we went to the show, and they were more sort of punk rock. They were more sort of like Stooges, New York Dolls, maybe Dead Boys a little bit, but they were doing all original songs. So he and I went to the show, and we got all psyched up about it, and we got out, and we were like, you know, doing the slam dance thing or whatever. And there was like a bunch of hippies in the crowd. They were all like looking at us like, what are these guys doing? And after
you said, wait, was there some skinny tie people?
Yeah, oh yeah, full on. And the band sort of dressed sort of that kind of new wave.
Cool.
But they were harder than...
Right.
Than
so maybe new wave. Some glitter, some glam.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like the L.A. Plimsolls 2020. It wasn't that scene. Okay. It was more... But
what did they call it? Power pop.
Power pop. Right. But after they got the stage, we somehow had the balls to go up and ask them. We said, hey, let us borrow your drummer. We know some songs. And so the singer guy goes, well, if Wally's up for it, like, sure. So we went up and we said, hey, we're going to do God Save the Queen, Pinhead, and Homicide. So we went up and played, like, these three songs.
With him jamming
with
behind.
With him jamming with us after the headliners played, which is crazy. And after the show, Randy Peprock, who was the singer in Who Killed Society, said, if you guys get a drummer, you can play with us next month. And then... The gloves were off, man. Then it was like...
What? Were they a Missoula band?
They were a Missoula band who moved, then later moved to Seattle, who I ended up following to Seattle. So Randy was a big part of my... Randy Peprock.
Peprock.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a good name.
Still making music. Like,
wow, great.
Awesome, dude.
So you go see this gig and you guys are playing, so you find a drummer.
Find a drummer. Yeah, we went through a few drummers over the next few months, but we played then.
Like Missoula guys or guys from the school.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Trying them out.
Yeah, one guy who was amazing, this guy, Rick Dahl, whose brother John ended up making a bunch of movies like Red Rock West. But he was the best drummer. He was very Stuart Copeland, and he was like, he could play. He could, you know, he was a student. You know, like
he had chops.
Yeah, he had real chops. But I don't think he was into us, because I don't think we were quite good enough for him at that point.
Well, it sounds like you guys were just starting.
Absolutely.
Now, what was the name of this band?
Deranged Diction.
Deranged Diction.
Classic.
Yeah. You could work society in there.
Yeah.
Deranged
Diction.
Diction of society.
Right.
Society's deranged.
No. But the best part was we played four or five shows, and then John said... Okay, this is nowhere. Like, we got to write our own songs. And I was like, how do you do that? And he goes, you guys got to just figure it out. He goes, next week when we get together, everybody has to bring in a song.
This is the drummer, man.
No, this is John, the
singer. Oh, John, yeah. Okay, let's save that for the next hour, because we're at the end of the first hour. January 17, 2015. Exciting journey through music story from Old Type Rock 2. January 17th, 2015, second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
Need a Old 72 Ford, and I've been spending all my money on some worn out $2 whore. You might think it's funny, but I don't think it's fair that that old two-time headache could ever get herself anywhere. Well, get on up and come on down, see the nice piece of real estate that ever graced this town. My woman, you can see her every night, just dancing, looking wicked till the early morning light. Yeah, she my baby, she my broken piece ass, she my number one undercover lover, but she been running way too fast for way too long. Come on down, take a good long look at my bad dreams. I like making money, honey, but I sure don't like to work when I could be down here just sitting, wiping beer stains on my shirt. And if you see old Ben Franklin, won't you send his love my way? I ain't seen him in a month or two since my paycheck up and walked away. And over in the land of the good looking, they're still reeling in the years. And we're just over here standing looking crooked, just bleeding in our tears. So get on up, come on down, take a good long look at my bad dream. Thank you. But it's hard to take a handout from a friend looks just like me. Except his legs have both been broken and his eyes can barely see. And somewhere way up on the high road where there's nothing in the way, you can't do nothing but piss off the concrete on the ones that showed you the way. But that's alright. It's just another broken piece of my bad dream. Well, I guess I'll see you, friend, somewhere closer to the truth. When the bar's closing down tonight and my words just ain't no use. Guess I'm just talking to a stranger. Guess I'm just pissing in the wind. Guess I'm just lonely and crippled and angry till I get on my feet again. Well, get on up. Come on down to the nicest piece of real estate ever graced this town. Come see my woman. Yeah, you can see her every night. Just dancing, looking wicked till the early morning light. Yeah, she's my babe. She's my broken piece of ass. She's my number one undercover lover. But she's been running way too fast for way too long. Yeah, come on down, take a good long look at my bad dream.
Watch for Pedro Show, starting out the second hour with Sola Musica doing Assignment. Tell you, great job. Claire Rockmore, Estelita, Sweet Lento from Lydia Cavina. Those are two, what do you call that thing? Theremin.
Oh, cool.
Meisters. Well, ladies ain't Meisters. But it's like the lady version of Meisters with the fucking Theremin. I think one of them was actually the Theremin Cat's protege. And then Chrome with Charlie's Little Problem. Helios Creed is back with the bringing the Chrome. Anywhere with Pyramid Mirrors. Anywhere was this prodigy, this cat named Christian, a drummer man. Played 12 string. He said, hey, why will you play bass on this? And these little bongos going, all right. I think there was 10 songs or something. And so, and then it became an album. Oh, by the way, the drummer's Cedric. From at the drive-in.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know he was
a
drummer.
Wow.
And I played a whole album with him.
Wow.
I was the other part of the rhythm section.
Wow.
You know, nowadays you can do this, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Flying. Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't even know he was a drummer, man.
Right.
He did good.
Yeah.
He did good. The Ghost of Sabretooth Tiger, Midnight Sun after that, Gigi Allen, the Jabbers, Bored to Death. What was that place in Seattle underneath the... The roads. Metro? I can't remember. There was a club there. It was underneath
the
roads.
Not the off-ramp.
Maybe it was off-ramp, but Gigi was a couple gigs before us, and boy, there was an odor on that stage.
Right.
So that's why I'm thinking of it.
Wow.
And that's where I came up in
the Minutemen days.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the firm... philosophy, bring your own mic.
Right. You never know where that mic's been.
Brad Muffin is excellent.
I was a pen pal with Gigi. You know, in those days, you'd send blank tapes and whatever, and I still have a couple of tapes.
I was going to say to you, your buddies in Big Sandy, the other two dudes.
Right.
Mixtapes, right? Cassette
huge.
Tapes.
Yeah.
Huge. That's how you knew about what was going on. Yeah. Yeah, I think he was like New Hampshire. He was kind of out there. New Hampshire?
Yeah. But Flipside and Maxim Rock and Roll had those, you know, send a dollar and...
Right. The C report.
Tape. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the tapes. Yeah, Flipside. The fanzines were so fucking important in those days.
Oh, man.
And so were those mixtapes. And then, Eñaro Che Usque Gino Suego La Teza. By Giovanni El Topio Jean. And finally, Scott H. Barum with Broke Ass. Okay, so John, the guitar man in the...
Yeah. Deranged Dixon
says everybody's got to bring in some fucking originality.
Yeah.
So step up. And when, by this time, you got about a Sergio.
Yeah.
He's got to write songs, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because you guys, the gigs have been copies, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, yeah. Go and play half an hour of Ramones and Sex Pistols and Black Flag. Yeah.
It's going to be Deranged.
Yeah.
Diction.
So it was, yeah, it was hole up and study.
Right, because you'd never written tunes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never did too as a kid. It was hard.
Yeah.
How do you do this shit?
Now, how do you do it without just copying it? That was the crazy thing.
Right. So, what happened?
So we did. You know, we went in and. We came back and probably two songs came out of that of what everybody brought in, and sometimes somebody would be like, what if you did, you know, then it became a more collaborative thing. It was like, I really like that part, but let's come up with a different part. And then it, you know, it opened a lot of doors because we, you know, there's no, everybody trusts each other because nobody, you know, nobody's holding on to any ground.
No expectations.
Like, you know, we were all hacks, so we were all figuring it out together and
raw.
And, you know, within 3 months, we had like 8 or 9 songs, and
almost an album worth.
And we went in the studio, luckily, and okay. And
this is still in Missoula. Right?
Yeah, it was actually an apartment about like this, and it was like set up the drums in the corner, and you know, put a couple mics on the drums, and plug the bass into the, you know, straight into the machine, and I think it was an 8-track, reel to reel. And we came out with, and that was huge, you know, like all of a sudden you make a tape of like these songs you recorded. I remember just, you know, the wonder of that, like going like, wow, this is the same thing that all these guys are doing. It's the same process. Like we can do this. Yeah. And so it was on at that point. At that point,
no, I don't
college became a secondary deal, and it was all...
I want to do my tunes.
Yeah,
music.
Yeah.
Let's hear some more music.
Thank you. I wonder if guys ever see themselves on NBC's To Catch a Predator and think, do I really look that fat?
Watch for Pedro Show.
Jim O'Rourke with Keiko Ishibashi tonight. And then him with the Orin Ambachi with Behold A. Some new stuff, Mr. Jim O'Rourke. New Orleans Woman from Kings of Lower Town. That's out of, what's that town? Ottawa? Hull? Is Ottawa the capital?
Ottawa's the capital, yeah.
And Hull's on the French side, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that Ontario, Montreal.
Quebec,
that's it. Sorry, people. I got to keep my geography mind in shape. The Glimpse Trio, Light from Outside, Part 1, City Job, the Icarus Line, and finally Bob Schreiner, the Predator, live at Redwood. Here with Jeff, he's got bitten by the music bug. School's only, at this point, a second thing. Even though when you were playing the piano, did you learn how to sight read? No?
Yeah, I did. Everything was sight read, so, you know, and there was... You know, two recitals a year. That was like and I hated the recitals. You know, like I liked like the practicing to learn something, but yeah. I hated getting up in front of people.
The pressure rock. Yeah.
And I kind of didn't really like
Little League.
I didn't really like getting up in front of people when I started a band either. Like it was fun.
Just playing with John and Sergio.
Yeah, that was great. Just being in the room. And
but then you have to put it in front of somebody. Yeah. It's like
Ricky.
Right, like getting up front of the class.
Yeah.
Zipper undone, dick hanging out. Okay, so you guys got your recording.
Yeah.
What about all the gigs at this time is Missoula, right?
Yeah.
Did you start Sally and Forth?
Well, we, you know...
For Missoula, probably the big town is Seattle, right?
Yeah. Or
maybe Spokane.
Yeah, yes. And we didn't know... There was a scene happening in Spokane, but we didn't know about it. But through the networking of trading tapes and stuff, I ended up...
What about Boise? Actually, it's hard to get there, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy hard.
Because the way the road is.
Yeah.
As the crow flies, yeah.
I think it's almost as long as it is to Seattle to get to Boise.
I've done it.
Yeah.
That Payette River.
Yeah.
You're following these canyons.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the great road.
It's pretty, but it's just local.
Yeah.
And my gang got kind of seasick. There's so much switchbacks. But if you're looking at the map, Boise's right there.
Yeah. A lot of mountains in between.
Yeah, so you heard about Spokanistan. Somebody told us that it's got a new nickname.
Right. Yeah, Spokanistan.
You heard there was a scene, but you didn't know, so you just leapfrogged that, went to Seattle.
Yeah, and a lot of it was I met these guys that were in two different hardcore bands in Seattle called the Rejectors and the Accused. And they put records out. The Accused put a bunch of records. Actually, their singer was Blaine from the Farts.
Shit.
It was in the Accused.
Fuck Art, let's fart.
Yeah.
Duff.
But those guys.
Those Farts with the NRKA.
Right. Being pen pals with those guys, I had those guys come out to Missoula. We put on like a big punk rock show.
Yeah, right.
The Accused and the Rejectors came out, and we paid them each $100.
Yeah, wow.
And,
they made the hell ride. What about the other school town, Bozeman?
Bozeman, nah. You know what's funny though is like some bands came out of there later on. Like there was a band called Steel Pole Bathtub. Do you remember
that? That's right. I played with them. There was a club there called the
Caspa or something. Or
had a bull. Hmm. Their logo was a bull with his fucking balls hanging and shit. And we played with them at the Sundown Sunrise.
But the singer in that band, I grew up skating with.
Wow. And they were wild. They were like Phantom Tollbooth or something.
Yeah.
No means no. That.
Yeah. Three-piece, like, industrial.
But they're a little later, right?
Yeah. That was probably more mid-80s, I think.
Okay.
Late 80s, maybe.
Yeah.
But
So you guys looked west.
So we looked west, and my friend Randy Peprock moved to Seattle, and then I knew the Rejectors and the Accused guys that lived out there.
Yeah.
And so after 2 years of college, I packed up my bags with Sergio, the drummer, and we headed west. Like, he had his drums, I had my bass cabinet, bass, a little suitcase full of clothes.
What about John?
Quit school. My buddy Randy said that there were jobs out there, and there were no jobs in Seattle.
John, the guitar
man. John decided he was going back to California. He's out of there.
He's out.
He had enough of Montana, had enough of Northwest.
Okay. Okay. Like, so it's just the rhythm section.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to leave you there, people. We're at the end of the second hour, January 17th, 2015, Dish Waffle Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. January 17th, 2015, it's the third hour, Waffle from Pedro Show.
good taste.
That is red.
Dime quién lo, dime quién lo, dime quién lo, dime quién lo, dime quién lo.
Watch from Pedro show. Start third off hour off with Elmo and the Sticks doing Blood Soup. Jeff, you know how to say this. I think it's that earthquake in Iceland. That's.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever get grounded?
Ajafala Jalkul.
Okay, that's good enough for me. It's the name of this volcano cool. when it goes off and puts so much ash in the air.
Shut
I was trapped in Paris 5 days. Not a bad town to get trapped in.
Yeah.
Deeper D's with D6. Home Away From Home, The Orange Disaster. After that, Imaginary People from Wales with Ditch Digger. Paper Valentine's of the James Rocket, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Apple Shift 7, El Calientito, number one, numero uno, by Zal. And finally, The Furry by Moist Boys. I think that's one of the, what's it called, Weens?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gene or Dean, one of those guys?
Dean's a fisher guy, right?
Right.
There's one guy, like, you could hire him to take you fishing.
Wow.
Did you hear about that?
No, no.
His real name's Mickey, I think.
Wow.
And, yeah, you can pay this guy. He'll take you on his boat, and he knows these rivers in New Jersey and shit.
Wow. That's crazy.
You know, keep your plan B. Plan B going. Okay, back to the music journey. You and Sergio, you're heading west.
Heading west, yep.
John pulled the ripcord. He's going back to Cali.
And we had another guy, Bruce, who was playing guitar with us at the time. He had a girlfriend in Missoula, so he wasn't going to come out either. So we.
Okay, by this time you're actually a four-piece.
Four-piece, yeah.
But now you're down to a duo, your rhythm section. You get out to Seattle. You get some buddies there.
Yeah.
And, you was. I guess your idea is we're going to find some guitar players.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the
what they have there, like a Recycler, they didn't have Craigslist.
No, there was a magazine called The Rocket that had, like...
Oh, I remember The Rocket.
Yeah, had Musicians Wanted stuff in the back.
Oh, you didn't have, like, this free weekly called The Recycler, something like that?
I don't think so.
That's where I got all my cars, all my instruments.
Wow.
You could run the ads.
I remember hearing about it here, yeah.
So it was only a Cali thing.
Maybe,
okay,
maybe.
Okay. But, you know, you had to buy it for $2,
right.
But all the ads were for free, so
right.
All kinds of happiness.
Early Craigslist, yeah.
That's what it kind of was.
Yeah.
All my shit came from there,
wow.
The Recycler. It maybe came out of hippie days.
Yeah.
Recycle it, you know? Why not?
Yeah.
And now it's called eBay,
right?
Craigslist, like you said. So this is your plan. We're going to go. We'll look at some ads and we'll find some dudes.
Yeah, and part of it was that there were no jobs in Montana at the time. So my friend Randy, who lived out there, said there's tons of jobs out here, and we were like, great. And he said there's a punk rock club opening up in May, and so we got in the car like the end of April, moved out there. And within 2 weeks, I think the first week that the club was opened up, it was really red. Channel 3 and
SoCal.
And the Butthole Surfers played that for the first week, and I thought I was in heaven. Because I'd only seen a couple punk rock gigs up to that point.
Oh, really, Red?
Yeah, they're Texas.
Right, right. Our Radical?
Yeah. Teaching You the Fear.
Yeah, but the Dicks had some come out on there.
Yeah.
Hate the Police.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck. And then Orange County, Channel 3.
Yeah.
Had a Posh Boy band, I think.
Yeah.
And who was the other band?
Butthole Surfers.
We played their first Cali gig.
Yeah.
Were they a four-piece then?
They were four-piece, yeah.
Okay. So
the guy was standing up playing the drums.
Oh, okay. Then we played with them before that because they had a guy playing. It might have been fucking Washam. I can't remember.
Wow.
But half the songs, Gibby played sax.
Right, right. Yeah, he played
like
a ton of sax.
And Paul was singing a lot of songs.
He came out with the clothespins in his hair, hundreds of them.
Yeah,
shook them around. I thought it was the coolest theater.
He had the
seen.
Roaches, paper roaches. Richard Meltzer had the real roaches,
right?
And the whiskey wouldn't let him play there again. So that's a wild gig, man.
Yeah, and then that's where I met Mark Arm, and that's where I met Steve Turner, and. That sort of became our Recycler, you know. It was like all these kids that, you know, it was like
the gene pool.
It's where we found out where the skate ramps were, and where we found out where the, you know, what people were listening to, what fanzines, what the local bands were.
That quick,
yeah. And then very quickly we found a singer, guitar player guy, Rod Moody, and who I'm still friends with, and We started writing called, tunes. Still called Deranged Dixon. Yeah. I was like sure that was the right name for whatever reason.
Let's do some more music.
eagle soar. Let the eagle soar.
got them East Colorado blues, and I don't know what to do. Got them holes in my shoes to let the gravel travel through, travel through. Colorado's on my mind, and I can't be satisfied when I got the dudes I find that I've been keeping deep inside. Don't know where they came.
Last music, we had Miloja, Misha, Markovich, Jazz Band, Up to Sunny 15, Promise of Lies, Carnage Asada, Getting Down by Atomic Sherpas, Easy, Plutonium Farmers, Class of 74, Stony Spring. Up there with
Deranged Addiction.
Johnny One by the Lemon Limes. That's up there.
That's good. Yeah.
And the Sugar Beats with East Colorado Blues. Blow Shit Up from Labor Camp. Finally, continue with the story. So you got a singer, you got a guitar man,
and then it was on, and then we already
you never pressed up this studio thing. It was just your demo.
No, but then
it got you gigs.
Got us gigs, and we got to the club that opened up, the Metropolis.
Yeah,
we got to be good friends with Hugo, and I wanted to go to all the shows, but I couldn't afford to go to all the shows, even though they were $4 shows. Like I was only making $4 an hour, washing dishes at the time, and so I went to Hugo and said, can I sweep up afterwards, or can I help out so I can get into gigs? And so he let me sweep up, and then that turned into every Wednesday I would DJ if there wasn't a gig on that Wednesday. And that's how I met Mark, and that's how we got gigs opening. We ended up opening up for DOA and the Butthole Surfers the next time they came through. Opened up for Husker Du.
Yeah.
That's
just bad.
Yeah, with his the Metropolis.
DJ, Metropolis. Yeah, I remember hearing about that place.
I think the first time that I saw you guys was at the Mountaineers.
That was the first place we played.
Yeah. It was a big show.
I think it was Buzz's first.
Was it the Melvins?
Yeah.
Opened up? Wow.
I think it's their first gig.
Wow.
For us, it was the first time us in Seattle. It was a big show for us. I didn't really know about Seattle scene. At that time, it was bands like... There was the magazine for the Northwest. I know you were reading the Maximum Rock and Roll on the flip side, but there was this thing called OP.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like that whole scene got forgotten.
Yeah.
But it was bands like the Beakers.
Yeah. The Blackouts. Those
kind of... you could tell they were listening to the England singles, you know?
Yeah.
Pop group and Wire and shit.
Yeah.
Because we were really, in fact, me and D Boom would write ads in OP. We thought it was the same kind of. Yeah, and, you know, for us, it wasn't so split when it came to hardcore and 70s punk.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a difference when it came to a new wave, okay. But with the other thing, it wasn't so split with us. So, yeah, I remember that scene. And then it just disappeared. It came. Some of the guys brought it south, and it changed its name to Option.
Right, Scott Becker, for a while.
So you read it when it was coming out up there, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
OP. And then, kind of out of that area, was it Olympia? Because Calvin with K.
I think OP was out of Seattle, though, right?
Was it?
I think so.
I don't know. I just know it was the Northwest.
Yeah.
It was that scene. Calvin's. Olympia.
Yeah,
right?
And that didn't really start to really happen until the
late 80s,
yeah.
early 90s.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my timeline gets screwed up. So, by you DJing, why? Because you're hanging out there all night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you
see Mr. Eep in the calculator?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, very shortly after that, like, Deranged Addiction thing, like, we lost our practice place, and then a couple times I went to practice and guys didn't show up and they started smoking weed and I was like,
you're deluded.
I was super focused,
yeah,
man.
Right.
Like I was like, I'm working 40 hours a week and I don't have a car, so like if I ride a bus an hour and guys don't show up, I'm mad.
Fuck yeah.
I gotta get in the bus and go home and
right.
And
you're diluting the mission.
Totally. It's like if you're gonna do it. You know,
yeah,
like
right.
that's kind of the way my dad. So that's one thing he taught me for sure, but. But,
so when you yanked the cable on this?
Well, right at the same time, I'd met Mark Arm a couple of times, and when I was DJing, he'd come up and suggest, he's like, hey, you got this record? Well, next week I'll bring these records and you can play those. And in the middle of that, he said, he goes, what's going on with your band? I was like, those fuckers aren't showing up for practice. And he goes, well, Steve and I are thinking about starting a new band. He goes,
Steven, Mr. F too?
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, what do you think? And I was like, I remember, he goes, I go, well, he goes, I said, I'm not really a huge fan of Mr. F, but I like you guys. Because I did, because they were both playing guitar and like.
So you went, like, to, you saw Mr. Repton gigs.
Oh yeah, a couple times, at least two or three times.
Yeah, what were they like? Super we only noisy. Knew him by that song he gave us.
And super sarcastic.
Okay.
Like so sarcastic. Like too. Like I didn't understand sarcasm. I was from Montana, so I was like probably went over my head, or just made me mad. I was a guy that got mad. But. So he asked me to do this band with him, and we rehearsed a couple times, and it was great. And those guys were super into, you know, we were practicing 3-4 days a week, and they were super connected to everything too. And immediately the second or third show that we got, was opening up for Black Flag at Mountaineers.
So and there was a lot of gigs there.
Yeah. Well, no, not really. It was you guys, Black Flag, Violet Femmes.
Just
First Slayer. Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember All Ages was always a problem in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the reason, I mean, once the Metropolis closed down, yeah. Mountaineers kind of filled in for about a year, and then yeah. they opened up this place called Gorilla Gardens that did some...
Under the rail.
Oh, yeah.
That's the place with the odor.
Yeah. Yeah, nasty. That place used to be called Astor Park.
Okay. I ask everybody on the show this. If you had somebody asked you to give advice, what advice would you give?
Work hard.
Like in this racket, you know.
Music. Yeah, yeah. And people ask me a lot, and I always say, like, when I got super into it, I went to every show and everything that I could get my hands on, and like offered to help and volunteer and help do sound and hook up PAs and like drive the van and. And I always say,
after the gigs.
Yeah, I always say if I wouldn't have been in a band, I would have been like a really kick-ass roadie or kick-ass tour manager or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just love being around music. I love being around creative people, and so I think
that's what you're saying.
Just go all in, whatever you're doing.
Don't do it halfway.
Yeah.
Be sincere. I think that's great advice, Jeff. When you guys. Well, to make a long story short, this band, it didn't go on for too much longer. You had some bad luck.
Yeah.
But you didn't let it stop you. You kept going.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, a band would break up. Stone and I were in a band called Mother Love Bone that the singer passed away with, and there was a few months where I thought, well, maybe this is my run, the end of my run, you know? And then something always brings you back in, and it was a friend of mine, Richie Stuber, who was a drummer. He was in a band at the time, and he said, "Hey, you know, we're going to the studio next week, and we don't have a bass player. Will you learn these songs?" So I learned these songs, and all of a sudden, I fell back in love with it again. You know, like I was in a room with the drummer, and we're working out parts. And
yeah, yeah.
And I think once it gets in you, you can't. You're going to die with it. You know?
The bug bites you.
Yeah, I think it's always there. And it happens in between a lot of records, too, where you take you get burned out on it, and you put the bass down for a month, and then all of a sudden you pick it up, and you start playing piano again, and guitar, and you start, like, that thing just starts to come out of you, you know? And
fuck, there's nothing better. Play piano.
I can barely play.
I can play drums. Yeah, because it's
been a long time. I wish I could play drums.
Yeah, I got one set up my prac pad because I get tired of people setting up and tearing down. But I should get on that fucker and learn how to ride it.
Me too, man.
Look, it's been righteous having you on board.
Thanks a lot. Truly. Thanks for having me in your pad.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
And this advice you give about doing it all the way, I concur. I join in with you.
Yeah.
Good people, it's been January 17, 2015 edition Walk for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.